Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style.
Hey, welcome to Rock the Vote Native Style, rebranded Rock the Treaties Native Style, and I'm here with my special guest host, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350. Nancy, welcome. We have a lot to talk about before we get our guest on. Welcome back, as always.
Well, thanks for having me, Robert, and you know, we're here in the Great North, and it's getting a little bit colder and snowy out, and yesterday was winter solstice, and I hope our relatives did some good thinking about what this last year has brought us and what we're looking, you know, for the future. So now, you know, is a time of darkness, and the winter is a time of storytelling and an opportunity to go inward with deep intention to care for our spiritual selves, our bodies and minds, our loved ones and families, and to prepare for the longer days ahead. And you know what, line three, Robert, we do have some longer days ahead of ourselves, you know, and today we have a guest, and she's a non-Native ally that ran for Senate District 7, so we'll bring her on a little bit later here in a few minutes on the road. But, you know, just having allies like her, you make a stand with us and show up in some of these spaces, like out in Palisade, when all the reps came out on that Sunday, that beautiful day. I think it's a continuance of the good work that we need to do when we, you know, get out and vote and we run for office, and being informed about who's running for these offices and what is the primary election and what is the general election. Because, you know, Robert, we don't show up at the primary elections. All those great candidates like Jen McEwen and Mary Kunish Bodine and all of them, they won't make it to the main November 3rd ballot, and that's what we need to see happen. So, you know, I look forward to working for midterm elections 2022 when the governor is up for re-election as well. And as we've seen with line three, well, he has gone against his own executive order 1924, the government-to-government relationship. And, you know, I think he should truly understand the intent of what that executive order is. And, you know, the relationship he's trying to build with the tribes, this is not how you do it. And as we see in the line three, White Earth and Red Lake still need their day in court. But yet, Governor Walz felt it was okay to release over 4,000 out-of-state pipeliners into our communities here in rural Minnesota and put us at more risk for COVID. So, you know, this is a big disrespect to our people. And, you know, even speaking, you know, on behalf of our people when it comes to having a sister in office, I see nothing but disrespect that he shows his lieutenant governor and her tribe. And I just don't see how he can sleep at night.
No.
It's kind of, you know, disheartening.
It's really disheartening. And one of the things I'd like to do real quick, too, is talk about a few of the actions that have happened up in the deep north regarding Line 3. And one of them was last Sunday, there was eight more legislators along. Heather Keeler was leading the way with these legislators up in Winona's camp, checking out what's going on and how they're disrespecting our land and everyone's water and so that was something that we need to update on. And just a FYI, Heather Keeler does a show on Native Roots Radio Network every Wednesday night, and it's called Together with Heather. Wendy named the show, but Together with Heather. And this week she's going to have all the representatives that showed up to the Deep North there to check out Line 3 on her show. So everyone tune into that. That's going to be amazing. And then also we had somebody last night from Red Lake speak up.
Right. And that was Sam Strong. The secretary is actually making the call for people to have their boots on the ground. You know, we have the resources taking place right now, you know, the camp structure, and creating that space. But I just got off the phone with one of his organizers, and the need is for people. And we understand it's COVID, and we know a lot of the spaces are taken by the pipeliners along the route in regards to hotels. So we're looking at creative ways to shelter people and holding space, and that's what's taking place right now. They had a hiccup last night. They had their camper out to the St. Hilaire area on the Red River, and the cops showed up and said, you got to take this and leave it. It is public land. It is treaty land, but they were told they needed a license from MnDOT to have their camper or any vehicles there. So there was already a challenge last night, so they kind of regrouped today and moving forward, what does this look like? And so those are some of the things we're going to be working on this week. And then on Saturday, we're going to call on some people to come together and have a conversation on how do we stand in solidarity from one tribe to the next here in northern Minnesota, and where our you know, warriors and allies, we're going to make some calls to action here in the near future. So we need people, you know, to step it up and show up, and we're going to do our best to keep people warm and find ways to stand in solidarity in a COVID-friendly space, because we got to take care of each other. And, you know, a lot of people are worried about COVID, and I respect that. But at the same time, if we don't make this stand, there's so much more to lose, and we need clean water, Robert, to even fight COVID. So I think that's mm-hmm. a good enough reason to show up for some of us, you know.
See, I want to give a quick shout out to MN350 also. They had an action on, depending on what side of the Mississippi River you're on, I'm on the St. Paul side, so it's the Marshall Street Bridge. And if you're in the Minneapolis side, it's called the Lake Street Bridge. But there was an action this past Sunday. I'd say about 400 or 500 people were there, all in solidarity against Line 3. I saw a lot of people that we all know, and it was really awesome there. I saw the AIM flag there. I saw some sisters there holding space and praying over the water, and a lot of allies there Sunday night, Nancy.
Right, and you know, I think that's going to be a reoccurring event to build momentum. I'm not sure if that was Sunday or Wednesday. There's so much good action going on right now. It's hard to keep up, Robert. You know, we had IEN, Indigenous Environmental Network, out to Palisade on Saturday to pray for our missing, murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And that was such a beautiful day. I couldn't be there in person, but in spirit I was. And I just watched the videos, and the prayer was strong, and the speeches were well. And, you know, again, you know, the cops had to show up. But I think, you know, we're going to continue to show up, regardless if the cops show up or not. I mean, we have no choice in the matter at this point, Robert, because again, our words continue to fall on deaf ears. And when we have two tribes, again, you know, have to be in court and have a fair shake at this, it's just not fair to see this happen. And I just can't stand the fact that Waltz has not responded publicly to the tribal opposition to Line 3 and his executive order.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think one of the things that I would really like to amplify in my short time speaking today is that these aren't about Minnesota jobs. I was up there three times, and I saw nothing but plates from all over the country and trucks all over the country. That means man camps and people coming up here. And we're just, you know, it's kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth when you're talking about murdered and missing Indigenous women, and then yet you bring 4,000 people. Men from all over the country to work in our areas, in our tribal areas, in our sacred areas. And also, we don't need a pipeline. That's a thing that we should talk about. This is going out the window. So we are protecting, meaning the state of Minnesota and Governor Walz are protecting a foreign business for people, for jobs across the United States, not Minnesota jobs like they've been saying, but Enbridge has been saying. And then also, this oil is going to China. This is not staying here, and this is the darkest, dirtiest oil known to man, Nancy.
Right. And, you know, I think some of our legislators just start looking at Minnesota statutes and find out if any place in the Enbridge advertisements, if they are being misleading to the public, because, one, we do know they are. That's not a replacement is actually a relocation project, and it's going through so many bodies of water, and it's actually on a new corridor. So there is, you know, a difference between replacement and relocation. And even the Webster Dictionary can tell you that. And, you know, again, there is no need for the oil. So there's just so much wrong in this pipeline, Robert. And I think, you know, what Enbridge having the space to tell people this is needed for Minnesota, we need Line 3, that's another mislead right there. There's just so much, you know, lies. And when we say when Enbridge lies, they lie. And because they have so much corporate dollars and so many, mm-hmm. so much pull when they lobby with our politicians, they get away with this kind of thing. And then the people, we don't even get to be heard. We're just a product of capitalism. We go to work, pay our taxes. And when something wrong like this, the basic right to clean water is a basic right to life. I mean, we can't even stand for that without being criminalized, Robert. We got problems with the system.
Right.
And they're deep.
Exactly. And we're going to take a quick break here, but I just want to say, you know, I want to give a shout out to everybody that I saw Sunday. I don't know how they recognized me because we're all wearing masks. Maybe it's my beautiful eyes. But they said, keep up the great work, Nancy and Robert and Wendy and Native Roots Radio, about amplifying what's really going on in the deep north. So I just want to say Pini Gigi before we move on and take a quick break, Nancy.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Rock the Treaties Native Style here on Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hamidakebi, Madison Hanmiacho, Oyatamitalakin, Ogola, Nabitawakatwan, and we talk y'all big stuff. Hello, my relatives. My name is Madison Hand, and I'd like to remind you of the ways we can keep each other safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, COVID cases are higher in number than ever before in our communities, making it more important to follow safety guidelines than ever before. Each individual choice we make will have widespread consequences for all of us. Being safe helps keep people out of the hospital. Help those around you by doing the following. Wear a mask and make sure your mask covers your mouth and nose. Social distance in public as best as you can. Get tested if you are possibly exposed to COVID. And stay home if you feel sick. Remember, our choices directly affect the health of our family, friends, and community. Free masks are available. Visit ramseycounty.us/a mask for everyone. This information guide is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
Keeping your home clean is essential to maintaining your health, now more than ever. Your carpet may not look too bad and still hold toxic amounts of germs, mold, and allergens. Zero Res is the proven industry leader in removing contaminants, and Zero Res keeps your home looking and feeling fresh and clean. Take advantage of the holiday special. Call 952-ZERO-RES and ask for the AM950 special to get 3 rooms cleaned and sanitized for $129. That's 952-ZERO-RES.
Minnesota's own appliance specialists are celebrating the close of 2020 with 10% discounts on thousands of top-rated and in-stock appliances. Then save more with safe free delivery and haul away from our trusted specialists. Enjoy year-end appliance savings from Warner's Stellion.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Shroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at shromanlaw.com. That's shromenlaw.com.
We are Alusa Nation.
FYI Politics and Pilot Progressive Party and Native Roots Radio presents Rock the Vote, Rock the Treaties Native Style. And I have Nancy Bolio on with me, and we have a awesome guest on, Nancy, again for Tuesdays. You've been really just pulling the rabbit out of the hat. I would really love if you could introduce our next guest.
Yes, our next guest here is Jen McEwen, and she is our newly elected Senate District 7. And she is a water protector. She is an attorney, and she gives so much to her community. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, she stood in solidarity with us in Palisade, Minnesota, on the shores of the Mississippi. And, you know, that was warming to my heart. And, you know, it reminds me why we have to continue to work hard in electing wonderful allies like Jen McEwen. So welcome to the show, Jen.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for that generous and warm welcome. Hello?
Well, thanks for coming on today. Yeah, we're up here. And you,
great.
Yeah, you know, I was just mentioning you're standing Palisade with us, so you can start this time that you have with us in any way you want, but I just want to say a big chi-miigwech to you for making space and stepping out of your comfort zone and coming to see for yourself and sharing that story and amplifying our voice and our struggle here in northern Minnesota in opposition to Line 3, and we appreciate you.
Oh, thanks so much, Nancy. It was a real honor and very humbling, I know, for me and also for the other legislators and incoming legislators who've been able to make the trip out to Palisade and to visit there and to learn and listen. And it's really important for us to do our part. I guess, you know, from where I'm sitting, it feels like I couldn't do it any other way. I think it's a responsibility for legislators right now to be really stepping up to stand up for what's right. We got some really serious things happening right now in regard to the choices about how we want to move forward as a community and as a society together. And these are crucial times to do the right thing and to stand up for what's right. So it was very humbling, and we were all honored to be there. We felt really welcomed and also now feel, I think, that we have a duty to all of you to bring back what we've learned and to bring it with us as we start our work in St. Paul here this next month, and to help other people start to understand where water protectors are coming from and what Line 3 means to northern Minnesota and to the communities up there.
Wow. Yeah. If I could jump in here, this is Robert Pilot. I thought it was beautiful.
Hi,
I thought it was beautiful when we were up there, and as we were, when Winona was talking to us and Nancy was talking to us and a couple other water protectors up there, and it started snowing, and I think it was just so beautiful and apropos to what we're trying to protect.
It really was. It was quite magical. It started snowing, and then it was that beautiful sort of like big flake, gorgeous northern Minnesota snow there for a while. It was a really special day.
Can you tell our audience, because I know a group of legislators came up last week. How did that come about that you legislators were up there?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think that, you know, a number of us have been following the struggles against Line 3 for a while now. So we've been sort of cued into what's happening in regard to appeals and legal actions and sort of organizing happening around it. But then in regard to going up to Palisade these last couple of weekends, for me, it was Mary Kunis is also, as you know, a wonderful incoming senator, and she'll be the first Indigenous woman senator to serve in the Minnesota State Senate. And so she, all of us incoming DFL senators have been pretty close. We've developed a pretty close working relationship already. And so she came to all of us and said that she would be going and that we were invited to join her if we would like to. So some of us jumped at the opportunity to be able to do that.
Wow, that's awesome. Go ahead, Nancy. I think I cut into what you were going to ask.
Right. Well, you know, just reflecting on what she mentioned earlier and what she just said, you know, being in Palisade, I was there when the legislators came. And for one quick minute, as loud as I am, I felt my voice was so small because, you know, electing people like these women and men that, you know, align with our allies is really powerful, and it really amplifies our voices and helps to bring us to the table in so many different ways and through different types of people, because we're not all going to be Native, or we're all not going to always agree. But one thing we can agree on is that we all need the clean water. And what these legislators have done is they put the people first. And, you know, this is why we voted them in, because they're willing to step out of their comfort zones and serve their communities and speak up on behalf of, you know, people like ourselves that are, you know, beautiful water protectors, but we've been stigmatized to, you know, show up and cause trouble. But in reality, we're causing the good trouble, because water is a basic right to life. And I just love it when our legislators and people like Mary, you know, the Missing Murdered Indigenous Task Force, that kind of good work happens when we vote for good people like, you know, Jen and Mary and Jamie, and we just have to continue to do that. So I appreciate that the most about, you know, Jen. She puts the people first in her community.
Exactly, Jen. One of the things I want to talk about, if you have the capacity to stay on for another section, is I want to talk about that this is – well, there's two things I want to talk about, and Nancy has a couple things too, is what do you see ahead for you as a legislator? And also, I think we're in part A of what's going to be happening when it comes to protecting water, because – we have PolyMed up in your area, and so this is just the beginning, Jen.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd love to stay longer and keep talking about all of this. This is great. Do you need to take a break right now, or do you want to keep talking for a little bit before you break?
You can say you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style, or no, wait, say this. Say Rock the Treaties Native Style, and we'll be right back, and then they're going to hit the music. Go ahead, Jen.
All right. Rock the Treaties Native Style. We'll be right back.
We are a Lusa Nation.
As a social enterprise that predominantly works with African-American men that have experienced incarceration or homelessness, the events of the last months have been particularly difficult on Better Futures Minnesota. As you probably know, the black community is disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Between the COVID-19 crisis and the killing of George Floyd, our reuse warehouse, property maintenance, and appliance recycling services needed to be paused, which has affected the revenue stream that we rely on to support and house our participants. Please consider making a 100% tax-deductible donation that will help us continue our mission. We are also in need of a reliable truck with a crew cab. This truck will be used to haul our equipment and drive our men to their job sites each day. Anything you are able to contribute will help black lives in your own community. Please visit us online at reusebfm.com to contribute. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com. We so appreciate your support and generosity.
Giving in 2020 is an opportunity to think outside the gift box. Art to Change the World has creations by over 20 artists, including handmade masks, paintings, functional art, sculpture, books, and experiential classes. Check out SWAP, our Stand with Artists project, for gifts that have soul. Make gift giving relational, not transactional. Check out SWAP at arttochangetheworld.org. That's arttochangetheworld.org.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 41. Tonight cloudy with a low around 35. Wednesday 1 to 3 inches of snow with a high near 18. And Thursday sunny with a high around 5.
With bars and restaurants closed around the state, now is more important than ever to support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants with takeout orders. One that offers takeout is the Great Wall Restaurant, located off 46th and France. Find their full delicious takeout menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
We are Alusa Nation.
Rock the treaties, Native style. Here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950, I'm with my co-host, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and Rise. And also we have this honored guest here, Jen McEwen, who's a state senator, District 7. And I was just looking up some information, Jen, and you won by over 68% of the vote. So congratulations. I don't think I've talked to you.
Thanks.
And that's rock star status. Welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
So, you know, if Nancy has a question, that would be awesome. You can jump in. But I'm just kind of curious about what's the vibe up in your area about PolyMed and what's happening up there?
Yeah, you know, it's I think that in Duluth, I was just talking about this with some other people just the other day, that it does feel like in Duluth, because we live on Lake Superior and because the way that the city of Duluth is laid out, we're always looking at Lake Superior, right? We can't forget about our beautiful lake. She's always there, and it's amazing. And I think that Duluthians really treasure that as a type of, as a shared identity, as part of who we are as Duluthians, why we love living here, what we treasure about this place. And so PolyMed in particular and copper sulfide mining is pretty much, I mean, there are some people, I guess, in Duluth who are interested in exploring those ideas, but most people in Duluth are really want to operate on a cautionary principle, right? They don't want to mess around with the health of Lake Superior and our drinking water. And the reason why we treasure this place and we love this place. So there's a lot of solidarity around opposing copper sulfide mining in Duluth and also in wanting more answers about PolyMet and about copper sulfide mining. Sometimes I think line three is a little trickier. And it kind of goes hand in hand with, I think, a sort of awakening that's happening throughout our region and our states and nationally and in the world right now, really, is that the climate crisis is really coming to a head right now during our lifetimes. And we're responsible to change the course that we've been on now for a couple hundred years. And it really is all wrapped in, as both of you know, it's all wrapped in these colonialist manifest destiny type of orientation and philosophy that our forebears from Europe brought here with them, that they had an ethic that you could use the land and you could use the water. And some actually have a sense of a sort of duty to develop it and to use it instead of living in harmony with our natural environment and recognizing that we are our natural, we're part of it, integral to us. And I do hope and I believe that things really are starting to change, and that over these next years it's going to change even more for the positive, that more and more people are really beginning to wake up and recognize this has been a really, really bad way of doing things for a long time. And it's brought us to this point where we're going to have to make some tough calls about the way that we want to live. And are we going to be brave enough to make these changes? And what's amazing is that when we are brave enough to make these changes, what lies ahead is going to be so much better, so much better. Such a better economy, such a better community, so much more harmony, so much more peace and economic prosperity that will bring more egalitarianism, I guess, to our economy. Right now we have such a outrageous wealth gap between the wealthiest and the poorest, also because of those types of philosophies. But if we move forward past that, what's beyond? What's next? What's coming next is really exciting.
Oh wow!
So it's
I agree.
Just getting over that fear, getting over that change, that fear of change, and that sort of being stuck. You know, we're moving. We're gonna move.
Hey, I just want to tell everyone we're with State Senator Elect Jen McEwen, District 4. And one of the things, I'm going to flip it over back to Nancy, but one of the I want to just make a quick statement and maybe have both you guys respond, is that I think when you were talking about staring at the Lake Superior and knowing that that's what you're protecting, I think one of the things that have been really messed up about Line 3 and up in the deep north is that the education that we're getting is from one side. And I think if people were educated and knew what was going on up there in their backyard, we might be having different results in how many people are against this, let's say, or even know what's going on. Nancy?
Right, because, you know, just not PolyMet, but we know Line 3 also threatens Gitche-Gumee as well, you know, and we got to start having those conversations. And there's even one more factor that we don't talk about, and that's the forever chemicals, you know, the PFAS, the scientific name, I'm not sure of that. But these are already here and they exist, like Jen mentioned before, the climate change is at its head. And if we don't start being more progressive and making those stands, stepping outside of our comfort zones and challenging the status quo, you know, because like she mentioned earlier, colonized capitalization or capitalism has never, ever, you know, been good for the majority of the people. It's corporate interest. And we see with this decision in Line 3 is that our, you know, Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, our governor, and many other, you know, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency put corporate interest first. And so where are we going to draw the line to say, you know, our water is already contaminated and how much more can we take? And, you know, when Lake Gitche-Gumee is having all these threats. I mean, there's Line 5, there's Line 3, there's PolyMet, and there's forever chemicals. I mean, we can't undo our clean water. And water is, again, something we all should be making a stand for, because without water, nothing else matters. And that's the conversation we need to have. And I think, you know, by just showing up and keeping the work continuing into the next election cycle, we can keep building up on the type of politicians we need that will represent the people and not corporate interests.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm really excited to start working on is pulling people together to really think about the kind of economics that we want as well, you know, I talk about our region in northeastern Minnesota, but how what are some of the industries and what are some of the sustainable cooperative industry that we would like to have here in the Northland that will provide jobs where people can not only just be living, not just living wage jobs, but thriving jobs that will allow people to really thrive in community together and won't be constantly pitting people against one another and aren't going to be this constant struggle for people to just get by. I mean, that I think, you know, when Nancy was talking about that sort of colonialist capitalism, that is, we are living the legacy of that right now, of these last hundreds of years where that has been this organizing principle of our economic system, that exploiting land, exploiting people, I mean, it's a real race to the bottom for all of us. And to be able to start bringing people together to put together, okay, what is the next thing going to look like? And let's start making it happen now. Let's start doing these things now. Let's build up new business, new types of models, new industry, and really create the thriving economy that we want to have.
Right. And, you know, I think looking back to some of the conversation we had earlier in the program here is, you know, the Native people, we are connected to the earth.
Yeah.
We only take what we need, but of course, you know, through time, you know, our language and our culture was taken from us, and but we're finding our way back. We've always held on to that, and I think, you know, through this movement, we're trying to prove that we do have a connection to this earth, and this is something we're trying to teach, you know, like Walt and everybody else that we speak to along the way, is this is not working. We need to imagine what a future looks like together and you know, reflecting on a green economy moving forward. And mm-hmm. It's like, at what point, again, are we going to say enough is enough? And, you know, thinking about, you know, the governor being elected, and, you know, I was so excited with that 1924 executive order. And right now, yeah, it means nothing. And my ask, I guess, when you guys were out in Palisades, what can you do as legislators to, you know, in a good way, say, hey, Walsh, what did you mean by that? And what can we do to make it right by these people? Because this line 3 actually goes against your own executive order. And I think, you know, we need legislators like yourself and Mary Kunish-Bodine and Jamie Becker-Finn to say, hey, that has to mean something. And let Red Lake and Leech or White Earth have their day in court. I mean, that's what's fair. And under treaties, we all gave, you know, the non-Native people the right to be here. We gave them the right to the land. We gave them right to hunt, fish, and travel. But yet we're under a quasi-sovereign government that is oppressing us and not having us at the table. And I think, you know, people like you, you know, actually give people like myself some hope to say she can do something, or what can they do together to talk about this, to bring that forward to Governor Walz.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope that there'll be enough of a real groundswell to help the administration really understand the where we need to be on this, and where the administration can lead on this. I mean, what a time of opportunity right now that we're living in. We're living in so much crisis, but we're also living at this amazing time where we are making these pivotal decisions that are going to set the stage for how our futures are going to play out. Our futures, our children's futures, our children's children's futures, and on and on. And these decisions right now are just crucial. They're going to really make the difference of which path we're going to take. And this administration, you know, I'm holding all this hope that this administration will listen to the water protectors and the people living up north who are going to be affected by generations upon generations of fallout from this potential pipeline if it is actually built and the oil starts running through it, and that they'll listen and that they'll seize this opportunity to lead us into this next better era that we're entering into now. So it really is an opportunity, and I hope that they'll start to see that.
I really like your attitude, and it's really fresh to hear. I think one of the points we're at right now, at least as Native people and water protectors, is that it's already happening. So when they're tearing down trees and getting ready to go, yeah, you know, the way they're disrespecting nature up there, it is happening. But it's good. I think from all directions, the governor needs to hear this. So it's just really, for me, exciting to hear legislators up there, and also exciting to hear the way you're talking about it. But one of the things I got to remind our listeners is it is happening right now, and we need to resist and divest and join a group and get up there and speak your truth and go to all these rallies, because only time political change happens is when we speak our voice and we resist. So I just got to remind our audience of that too, Jen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I made a big impression on all of the legislators who've been up there, me included. And Mary Kunish has spoken really eloquently and beautifully about just that impact and how going up there, she had gone up actually before the rest of us did and saw the large, beastly machinery, you know, really grabbing these trees and ripping them out of the ground. And she said just the noise and the visceralness of seeing this happen in front of your eyes and hearing it and having your senses filled with it was deeply painful to bear witness to and to see. And I think that was part of perhaps her motivation to really connect with the rest of us and say, you need to come up and see this. And then when we all came up after that, we were able to see that path of just destruction of that used to be forest where they're planning to put this pipeline through, and just how much destruction, like you said, it's already happening right now. Yeah.
Right. And before we let you go, I want to give Nancy a couple opportunities to grill you. No, to ask a couple questions. go ahead, Nance.
Well, you know, Jen, I just want to ask for your continued support as this beautiful resistance moves forward, because you know as well as we know that we made those phone calls, we sent those emails, we showed up at hearings, we did everything we could. And, you know, as we see, Red Lake and White Earth haven't had their day in court, which makes this unlawful and obviously unfair. And it violates that executive order 1924 government to government relationship. It violates treaty responsibility. And so, you know, I just No, we're going to keep showing up and keep showing up and keep showing up until we can have that dialogue and have a fair say in the matter, because even if these lands are not in our possession, they are ceded territory, and we never surrendered our right to hunt, fish, and gather. And I'm asking if you can continue to support the good work that you obviously already do, but just work with fellow legislators, the governor, and say, you know, there is a treaty obligation here, and, you know, people like yourself and allies like you could pave the way for opening the door through that treaty obligation, and because we are in a good time, and I just want to know that we have hope in people like you to break through those barriers that have long stood in our way, because until we have a treaty relationship that is based upon meaningful, you know, consulting with us, things like that, we're going to continue to have these fights, you know, like you said, we're pitted against each other, and we shouldn't be, because treaties intended us to be good neighbors and good stewards of the earth. And what can you do to continue the good work that we do here, like at Minnesota 350 and Minnesota 350 Action, and, you know, it's What can you do to help?
Well, I think that one of the things that's exciting is that you can see just how there is the movement that has been sort of started and maintained now for years and is now coming, it's spreading. So I know that in this winter, as the construction has started, it seemed to start out with just a small group of legislators who were talking about this and sort of cued into what was happening. And now it's spread and there's more and more legislators who are talking about this and there's consensus building around this and more people are coming up to Palisade and going to the river and acting in solidarity, whether that's bringing their bodies to these places or writing letters or talking to their friends and family about their observations about this. Showing up for demonstrations, writing letters to the governor, writing letters to the administration, or writing letters to their senators and representatives and telling them to get on board with this. And really, really, we need to see some changes and we need to stop Line 3 from happening. So I think, some of the things that we can do, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can do and that we should be doing. One of the things is to talk with people about the treaties, like you've been talking about so eloquently. I think a lot of people don't understand the treaties, the history around the treaties. And, one of the things that you said when we were up there at Palisade is we're all treaty people. And that oftentimes right. The white community thinks it's a sort of kindness that was done, but it's actually in the opposite direction. The kindness right. that was done right. where the indigenous people whose lands were invaded and who we came here and the indigenous people of this land granted us these rights and in these amazing, generous agreements so we could live here and thrive here. So to help people understand the treaties is, I think, a big piece as well.
I want to thank you for stopping in. This was State Senator-elect Jen McEwen of District 7. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Rock the Treaties Native Style here on AM 950. Thanks, Jen.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hi everyone, Matt McNeil here. Everyone at AM 950 wants to say thank you to all those who became members through our AM 950 membership program. One thing 2020 has taught us is small independent media is such an important element of our community. And as some independent media outlets have shuttered, you members have helped ensure AM 950 will stay on the air into 2021. It's really simple to become a member of AM 950. Go to our webpage, am950radio.com, click on the membership button and sign up. You can make a one-time donation or a recurring donation. And through the holidays, we have a great offer for new members. Become a new member with either a $25 one-time donation or a $10 recurring donation, and AM 950 will read a special message from you on the air this holiday season. If you make a $50 one-time donation or a $25 recurring donation, you'll get a copy of the first ever AM 950 calendar featuring photos I took on my hikes from this last year. Once again, head over to am950radio.com and sign up to become a new member today. And once again, thank you so very much for your support from everyone here at the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950.
Minnesota's own appliance specialists are celebrating the close of 2020 with 10% discounts on thousands of top-rated and in-stock appliances. Then save more with safe free delivery and haul away from our trusted specialists. Enjoy year-end appliance savings from Warner Stellion.
Hami Takebi, Madison Hanmiacho, Oyatami Tolakin Ogwala Nabirawakatwa, and we talk your big show. Hello, my relatives. My name is Madison Hand, and I'd like to remind you of the ways we can keep each other safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, COVID cases are higher in number than ever before in our communities, making it more important to follow safety guidelines than ever before. Each individual choice we make will have widespread consequences for all of us. Being safe helps keep people out of the hospital. Help those around you by doing the following. Wear a mask and make sure your mask covers your mouth and nose. Social distance in public as best as you can. Get tested if you are possibly exposed to COVID. And stay home if you feel sick. Remember, our choices directly affect the health of our family, friends, and community. Free masks are available. Visit ramseycounty.us/a mask for everyone. This information guide is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
Happy holidays to everybody out there in AM 950 Radio Land. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a holiday-themed Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. Many years ago, I spent a Christmas at Molly's Bar in Superior, Wisconsin. I ended up writing a song about it, telling the story of Christmas from the eyes of a sailor who stumbled into the bar on Christmas Eve. We tell the story and listen to the song. I think you're going to love it. Hope everybody's having a great holiday this Saturday, 6 p.m. on AM 950.
We are the Lusa Nation.
You rock the treaties native style here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Wow, Nancy, we only got a couple minutes here. You did it again. What a great guest. And Nancy, are you there? If not, I think we had a great...
Hey, Robert.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry. I pulled a Robert really quick.
Easy, easy.
Jen McEwen, she's so wonderful. And, you know, she brings some inspirational hope. And she was actually one of our endorsed candidates at Minnesota 350 Action. And, you know, again, our work still has to continue moving forward into midterms 2024 and beyond. And I also want to give a shout out to the Red Lakers for, opposing line three and getting camp ready. And so they're asking for, you know, boots on the ground. We're going to need some help up this way here in northern Minnesota. And a good way you could follow them is actually on Facebook, Robert, and it's the Red Lake Treaty Camp on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Red Lake Treaty Camp. And that is the camp that's on or near. It's a little of both on the preferred route. And so we're going to need people to strap up those boots and find their way up north here and make sure they come prepared. And what they could use as a guide is the Water Protectors welcome page with Stop the Line 3. They have a nice little list of if people can, you know, take care of themselves, mm-hmm. and show up in a good way like that. We're asking for that because we know there's a lot of water protectors that can't afford to be here. And so we're reaching out to funders and mm-hmm. things like that to help people find their way here. But if you can, take care of yourself. That's one of our big asks, to show up in a good way like that. Or if you can't make it, but you have finances that can help be helpful, please reach out to Inu Collective, StopTheLine3.org, Minnesota 350 Action, Indigenous Environmental Perfect. Network.
Awesome.
So much we can do to help.
Hey, you're listening to AM 950. Next, Matt McNeil. Pinigigi for listening. You need to resist, divest, and join a group and run for office. We'll be back next week.